Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. It's such a joy to come into your home. And I want to share with you today about faith. And my goal here in this program is to help your faith, whatever level of faith you have, perhaps you don't have much faith, to grow, to increase, so that God's presence will be touching your life in a powerful way. Let me share this gospel with you. It comes from Luke chapter 17. The apostle said to the Lord Jesus, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, 'Be rooted up and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I've had the privilege to lead pilgrimages in my life and also to study in the Holy Land. And I love going over there. There's so much to see, the place where Jesus walked. And one of the places that I've been to that I wanted to share with you is called the Church of All Nations. Right outside of Jerusalem is this beautiful church called the Church of All Nations. And it's built right over the Garden of Gethsemane, right over that place where Jesus at his last night suffered and agonized. If you remember the story, right after the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and one last time Jesus prayed fervently to God. And as he was praying, it was such a fervent prayer because he knew he was about to be crucified and to suffer. And it was such a fervent prayer, he got down on his face, down on his knees, and he sweat blood. He was going through turmoil. He was overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. And in the midst of his prayer, this is how he prayed. He prayed, "Abba, Daddy, Father, all things are possible to you." Now, I want you to get that. Right in the midst of his most difficult moment of his life, when he apprehended the fact that he was about to be crucified, he called upon God in a very personal way, and that's part of faith. And then he said something that was unparalleled. In faith, in trust, he said, "All things are possible to you, Father." And I want you to get that because some of you right now, you're going through some turmoil and some sorrowful situations and some things that are overwhelming to you. And I want you to know that God is there for you and that all things are possible with God. You see, what Jesus did is he exercised his faith right in the midst of his trials and his tribulations. And that's exactly what I want you to do in your life. All throughout the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, we hear about faith. In fact, it says in the letter to the Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when I talk about faith, I want you to understand it's not just faith. It's faith in God. It's believing in God. We're called believers as Christians. And I want you to do what you are called to do, and that's believe. Believe in God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then there's so many other scriptures when it comes to faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And my just one shall live by faith, the Bible says. That comes right through the Old Testament. And faith is so important that we inherit the promises of God by faith and patience. And God has made so many promises to us in the Bible. But faith especially, I want to drive this point home. Faith is so important, and it's a gift from God to you, and I'm praying that it will grow in you today. It's a gift so important, of inestimable value, that the Bible says that by grace we are saved through faith. Did you get that? By grace we are saved through faith. In other words, it's your believing in God, believing in what Jesus did for us at the cross, trusting in this, that we receive salvation. And I want you to believe, to simply believe. I remember I was talking to a man one time. He came to me. He set up an appointment. Man was like 82 years old, Catholic. Came into the confessional. We sat down. And he said, "Father, here's my problem." He said, "I'm 82 years old. been going to church all my life. And he said, deep in my heart, I have doubts. I'm not quite sure if there is a God or not. And he was really distressed about that, and I would be too. He was squirming as he sat across from me. And he was being so honest, so vulnerable, as he shared about his doubts. And I hear that from many people that go to church. Father, I have doubts. I'm not quite sure. Because God doesn't appear to everybody. And I love what Jesus said. He said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. And that's really, really important. So don't feel like because you have faith, you should be having all these manifestations. Well, God may manifest himself to you, but oftentimes he doesn't because he wants you to grow through faith without the manifestations. That's how you really know that you have faith, if you believe without seeing. But oftentimes, belief leads to seeing. So what I told the man was this. I said, have you ever thought about doubting your doubts and simply believe? Simply believe. Jesus said, faith is like a little teeny mustard seed. Very itsy bitsy, very small. You have it because the scriptures tell us that God gives to everybody a measure of faith. You've got something within you that believes in God. Even atheists, when they're about to get into a car accident, they go, oh my God. You know, it's in everybody. You have faith in there. You have belief in there. And it's a matter of increasing it, helping it to grow. I remember when I was a young man, 18 years old, you know, born and brought up Catholic and didn't have a whole lot of faith. I believed that there was a God out there somehow, some way. Fell away from the church and then went through a breakup with a girl. And then finally, I was really hungering for more. And what I started to do was, just with this tiny little mustard seed of faith that I had in me, this little itsy-bitsy believing, I started praying. And I think that praying is such a manifestation of believing. Because when you're praying, you're believing, number one, that there's a God, and number two, that God hears you. So prayer is a way that you activate your faith. We're talking about increasing your faith now. Remember what Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, be uprooted. So in other words, what he's saying is that if you start small, it'll grow. Your faith will increase so that you can develop your personal relationship with God. In addition to prayer, I started reading. Started reading the scriptures. And I remember what Billy Graham said about the Bible. He said there's inbuilt power in the scriptures. In other words, there's dynamite, there's dunamis, that's the Greek word. There's power to help us to grow. So as you read the scriptures, your faith grows. It says in the letter to the Romans, faith comes by hearing. And you're hearing right now, and I believe that as you hear, your faith will grow. Well, part of hearing is reading. I remember St. Ignatius of Loyola, one of the great saints of our Catholic Church, founder of the Jesuits. After he got into a battle and his leg almost got blown off and he was in a hospital room recuperating, there was nothing to do. There's no TVs. There's no entertainment in the hospital. So somebody gave him a couple books. One of the books that they gave St. Ignatius, he wasn't a saint at the time, one of the books that they gave him was a book about the saints, saints of the Catholic Church. And as he read that book, and as he read another religious book, faith rose up within him. And that's when he heard a call to become a priest. And not only a priest, he founded the Jesuit community and became a saint. So that's why reading is very important. Reading the scriptures, reading good religious books, listening to good TV programs, praying. This is how you activate your faith. In the Catholic Church, we have what's called the Creed. The Creed comes from the Council of Nicaea in 325. And the Creed has recently been nuanced just a little bit. Instead of we say, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, now we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. So in other words, faith is intensely personal. It's communal. You know, we believe as a community. But when push comes to shove, what do you believe? It's intensely personal. So in the Creed, we always speak it after the homily at Mass. The community stands up and everybody together professes out loud the Creed. And we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. So what is that doing? We're speaking those words, I believe. We're speaking it out of our mouth. That's how you activate your faith. You activate your faith by praying. You activate your faith by reading. You activate your faith by speaking it out of your mouth. So if you're going through a hard time in your life and you're struggling, speak the words of the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. If God is for me, who can be against? So you speak words of faith out of your mouth, and that's how the mustard seed grows. That is so crucial. Some of you that tune into this program, you go to church, you're great believers, you love the Lord, you know, you want to grow in your faith, and I want to be there for you and inspire you and encourage you. Some of you are just flipping through and you're looking for something. You call yourself an agnostic because you don't know about God. Some of you, maybe you're atheists because you don't believe in God. Well, I believe as you watch this program, the faith that's in you, and it's there, trust me, will grow. You can have a relationship with God. All the saints in the Bible, you know, the Old Testament, all the saints in the Catholic Church and any other denominations who have ever lived started off with a little teeny itsy bitsy bit of faith. Maybe they didn't even believe, and then something happened in their life. Maybe they read a book like St. Ignatius. They heard preaching like St. Augustine. Whatever it was, something touched them to bring them to faith. And that's what I'm hoping this program will do. Simply believe. You have it in you. It's a gift. But activate your faith by reading and praying and speaking it out of your mouth. And that's exactly what I did as a young man. Those, all the things that I've just enumerated. And I didn't know how to, nobody taught me how to do it. I just did it naturally. And then I had an encounter with God. It was then through my faith. We are saved by grace, that's God's free gift, through faith, through simply believing. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can never merit it. But God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to have open doors and blessings in his life. So as you're watching the program now, I'm praying that you're going to come to a deeper faith, that that little teeny mustard seed, whatever level of faith you have, will grow. And that's what I do as a priest and as a preacher. When I've got hundreds and sometimes 1,000 people in front of me, I know that as I stand up there before them, I am trying to help them deepen their faith in God, their belief in God, their trust in God. So I want you, first of all, simply to believe that God is. I believe in God. Now, Jesus taught us there's one God, not many gods like the Hindus believe or the Buddhists or different things like that. So don't get confused. One God. God is one. And God alone, Jesus said. So in other words, there's one God and he's alone. There's not many gods. And simply believe the God who created you. And then we got to go beyond this. We got to go beyond just believing that God is. I love what the creed says. I believe in God the Father. That's exactly what Jesus called God. Whenever he would, I began with that story about the Garden of Gethsemane. God was not only called Father by Jesus, he was called Abba, Daddy. That's a term of endearment. It's a term of personalization, a term of relationship. So in other words, Jesus didn't just talk about this big God out there somewhere. He talked about a daddy, a father, an intimate personal relationship. When God revealed himself to Moses, it's interesting, he revealed himself as a God gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and rich in kindness. You see, this is the character of God. So when I'm talking about believing and having faith, I'm not just talking about believing in some God out there somewhere. I'm talking about the God who has revealed himself to us through people and in the Bible. And who is this God? Well, some people call God Jehovah. That's one of the words in the scriptures. It's been nuanced to Yahweh, my higher power if you're in the 12-step program. Some people jokingly call God the man upstairs. I hate that term. But Jesus called God Daddy. Abba, Father. Scholars tell us that that came directly from Jesus, this term Abba, Daddy, Papa. And as I said, it's a term of intimacy, a, a term of endearment. I am so glad that I had a good father in my life, a father image. My name is Cedric Pazania Jr., and I bear the name of my dad. My dad was so kind to me. I was the third of three children, the only boy. I have two sisters. My dad was just so kind to me, and we developed such a good relationship, and we got to be best friends. He was a carpenter. And I remember one time he came home with his truck, and he had all this junk in the back, you know, from his job. And as he came home, I went out to greet him and everything. He says, "Hey, I'm on the way to the dump." I go, "Great, can I come with you?" And I was going to, he was just mentioning about going to the dump is a stinky place. And it's like there's birds and rats and all these different things. I wanted to go with him simply because I loved being in the truck with him. And we could talk about different things and have fun together. And even though we were going to like a stinky place, like a dump, and I didn't care about that, I didn't want to go to the dump, I just wanted to be with my dad. I would take any opportunity just to be with him, to develop that relationship with him, to be encouraged by him. And I remember one time we were talking, my dad and I, and I remember one thing that he said to me. He said, "Cedric, when push comes to shove, you can always trust me. You never have to worry. Always trust me." And he was so right. All throughout his life, he passed away about 15 years ago, but all throughout his life, my dad was extremely trustworthy. He always treated me with dignity, with respect, with care. I could always trust him with my deepest, darkest secrets. He was a best friend, very kind, very encouraging, very supporting. When I took up golf, I came home one time and there were a bunch of golf clubs lined up against the wall. One time, when I went to college, he supported me, you know, financially. When I became a priest, started writing books, he was right there to help me, to encourage me, help me even sell my books. That's the way my dad was. Very encouraging. So when Jesus gave us this image of father, that's what he was talking about. A father who encourages us and supports us and loves us and is there for us. And get this, trustworthy. Trust is an aspect of faith. It's an aspect of believing. When you're trusting somebody, you're relying upon them. You're leaning on them. You're having confidence in them that they're going to be there for you and they're not going to disappoint you. I love what it says, one of the songs, "Lean on the Everlasting Arms." Amy Grant wrote a song one time, and it was called "Arms of Love." I just want to share the verse with you. "I have found a place where I can hide. It's safe inside your arms of love. Like a child who's held throughout the storm, I'm safe and warm in your arms of love." Wow. Do you understand? When I talk about faith, it's not just in some arbitrary higher power or man upstairs out there somewhere. God, your Father, He's trustworthy. He loves you. You can lean on Him, and He's going to take you through. He's going to help you no matter what. So I want you to get that. God is intimate. He's for us, not against us. His love for us is unconditional. And one of my favorite verses in the scripture, Romans 5:8, "While we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent His Son to die for us." You have to realize that He loves you just the way you are, that He's for you, not against you. And what I want you to believe is in His goodness, in His grace, that He's a personal God sent for you, given for you, loving you. So I want you to understand that when you believe in the God of the Bible, the God who reveals Himself as being gracious. He's not harsh and punishing. He's loving and kind and wonderful, and He's for you. He's your Father. And that's what Jesus said to Mary Magdalene. He said, "I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So He's your Father and He's your God. So when you believe that God is, of course, and then believe it, that God is good, that God is gracious. That's what they say in the African American church. The preacher will get up there and he'll say, "God is good." And everybody will reply, "All the time." And then he'll say, "All the time." And they'll reply, "God is good." And so that's what we have to believe about God. And then I want you to believe, as it says in the creed, I believe in God the Father, Almighty. I want you to believe that God is almighty. We know that. The word is omnipotent. He has all the power. He is full of strength. He's not a weak God. Our God is powerful, all-powerful. And I want you to believe in God Almighty. There's a story in the Old Testament I wanted to share with you, and it comes from Genesis chapter 18. It's a story about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. These three angels come to them. They didn't know they were angels, but they entertained them, hospitable, and they took them in, fed them, and different things. And then one of the angels said, at this time next year, we're going to come back to you, and Sarah will bear a son. And they heard Sarah laugh because Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. And, you know, when it came to sexuality, they were as good as dead. So Sarah laughs. And one of the angels says, did I just hear Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Did you get that? Because sometimes we can laugh when you think about your spouse returning to the faith or your children coming back to the faith. You can laugh when you think, I can never get healthy. You can laugh when you think that I'm going through a suffering and it's a great trial. You can laugh when you're grieving and lonely and you think that you're going to be stuck in this. And you can laugh when you think, can God ever help me? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And that's what I want you to believe, that God is all-powerful. Of course, Abraham and Sarah had a son, and it was the son Isaac through which their promise came. And God's blessing, the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea, the descendants of Abraham, which we are through faith, came through this. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord or too hard for the Lord? And it's the same in your life. Whatever difficulty or trial that you're going through that seems impossible, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's what you have to believe about God. As Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, all things are possible for you. And what God did in the Garden of Gethsemane is take that moment, that hardship of Jesus, and he turned it into resurrection, and he turned it into redemption for all believers. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, you know, I remember when it comes to television, for example, there were walls, there were hardships about getting on, very expensive, very difficult. And I remember God speaking into my heart one time, and he said, Cedric, unless you believe, I can't do anything. It was almost like my lack of faith was tying the hands of God. So what I started doing is expecting God to do great things, expecting a miracle, being confident that God will work in my life. And then doors started opening for me. And it's the same thing when you're sufferings. When you're going through trials and tribulations and hard times, you might be thinking, well, where is God in all this? And that's exactly what happened in the scriptures. Paul the Apostle, St. Paul of the Cross, all these different people that have lived before us, they trusted God, they believed God, even in their sufferings, and God did amazing things. St. Paul the Apostle and St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of the Passionists, he talked about unshakable faith. And that's what I want for you. Now, I began this program talking about a little teeny itsy bitsy mustard seed that can grow. And as you've heard this program, as you've heard me preach, as you've heard me speak, I believe your faith has grown. Yes, that believe simply believe in God. Believe that he's your father, that he loves you, that he's trustworthy. Lean upon him. And then believe that he's got the power to open doors so you can realize dreams, so that even when you suffer, he will take you through. And I like to say that as you go through, you grow through with faith. So faith starts off as a teeny, itsy, bitsy mustard seed, but it grows and becomes all that you are. And I'm praying as you have watched the program today that your faith will grow, that you will develop your personal relationship with God, and that you will have close intimacy with God, your daddy. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Simply believe. The little mustard seed can become all that you are. Picture it this way, a fireplace, there's little embers just glowing. You put some oxygen in there, put some wood on there, and all of a sudden a ferocious fire. Faith can become all that you are. This program is dedicated to reaching out to people of all faiths and to people that have no faith. And I want you to grow, and I want you to believe, and I want you to have a personal relationship with God. I get all kinds of different letters. One letter really touched me. This woman said that, "I'm not of the Catholic faith, but you touch people of all faiths." And I so appreciate that because I'm trying to reach out across all denominations. Yes, I'm a Catholic priest, but I'm for all people. And then this other woman sent me a letter and she said, "I listen to all your TV shows. I record them. They get me out of the dumps and they stop me feeling sorry for myself. I hope you are always on television so that you can be there for us." And that's exactly what I want to do. I always want to be there for you. And the reason why I am is because, yes, I'm called by God, but because I have partners. I have people across all denominations that are helping me to proclaim the gospel all around the world. Would you consider being a partner with my ministry? Just simply call that number or write that address, and we'll send you an envelope. And in that envelope, you can just designate what book you want. We'll send that to you free of charge. You will help me to reach out to people of all faiths, but especially to agnostics, atheists, people that have no faith. Don't just live. Live with passion. I've gone through so many things in my life. My knees, my teeth, my ears, my eyes, my face, and all kinds of different maladies and sufferings. St. Paul of the Cross talked about something called unshakable faith. In other words, you trust and you have faith no matter what. And I have a saying that I like, "I don't understand, but I trust." And that's what I want for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the suffering, no matter what the hardship, your faith will take you through. Your faith in God. When I joined religious life, at our profession, we sang a song. And it goes like this. "No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" And I pray that you will keep singing and keep clinging. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live. Live with passion.